UTC 7:20 PM in Zimbabwe on Saturday, July 18th, 2015. You are listening to Studio 7 live from the Voice of America in Washington. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Gibbs Dube. Here are our top stories this evening. A crippling water crisis has forced more than 36,000 residents of Masungo Town to fetch water from a polluted river.
They are now using about 2 weeks to be dried. Right now, the residents are now using water from the river.
The Zimbabwe National Traditional Healers Association says it is seeking $45 million for the construction of a proposed Nanga training school in Harare.
We have been allocated the site for building our school, but the challenges which we are having, looking for funding for the construction of the school, actually.
And Zimbabweans embark on elaborate, bold and very expensive clothing designs. These stories and much, much more coming up. A crippling water crisis has forced more than 36,000 residents of Masungo Town to fetch water from a local polluted river. According to Prosper Tiringindi of Masungo Residence Trust, water taps have been dry for more than a week owing to burst pipes and poor water management in the town. He tells Studio 7 there are now fears of an outbreak of waterborne diseases such as cholera in the southeastern town.
The residents of Masungo are facing a crisis of water, a water shortage. They are now using about a week with the dry taps. Actually, the challenges that we are facing as a resident is that the resident from Orujeko, the pipes that was installed 4 years ago, material that was being used, they were poor quality. They are right now basically, and also we understand that it's about Masungo, the city, the northern city, all maybe things that were removed by the white had the same infrastructure that we are using. So the pipelines are basically, we are getting the reports of pipelines that are basically.
What are the residents doing now? Where are they getting their water?
Right now, the residents are now using water from Mucheke River. Some are now digging and protected health.
That was Prosper Tiringindi of Masungo Residence Trust speaking with Studio 7. We also spoke to Masungo Mayor Yupet Fidze about the water crisis.
Actually, the general problem is that we've partially increased, our water supply into the city at the moment. These are the late expansion of the piping network. Our pipes are old underground there. So that's the main reason why we're actually having water tests. It's not that we're having water shortages as such, no, but we are forced to cut supplies because of water tests.
So we're seeing some queues of people actually fetching water in some places like the Mcheke River. So what is going on with those kind of residents?
I haven't heard of any situation of anyone fetching some water from Mcheke River, and I wouldn't even want to recommend that. Problems do happen here and there. A special case, of course, is Rujeko, of which Rujeko has got its own problem, which we actually attended to. We've since come up with a budget of $31,000 for the refurbishment of the Rujeko water system, and already procurement is in progress. I think within the next 3 months maximum, that problem should be over in Rujeko.
That was Masungo Mayor Yupet Fidze speaking with Studio 7. The Zimbabwe National Traditional Healers Association, or ZINATA, says it is seeking $45 million for the construction of a proposed Nanga training school in Harare. Secretary for Education Sekuru Peter Sbanda tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu the school will offer diplomas to trained traditional healers who normally operate without any tertiary education.
We have been allocated the site for building our school, but the challenges which we are having, looking for funding for the construction of the school, actually. We accept even donations or any form of funding. Already the school is there. It has been registered. Its license is under Ministry of Higher Education and Tertiary. We have got some other commercial colleges and the like. So ours will be of African traditional medicine, which is meant to preserve our cultural values.
What is your total budget?
Our draft for the plan for the school, actually, we're looking forward to up to 1.8 million for the construction of the school, so that we can be able to construct 20 classrooms and with the administration.
How many members are registered under ZINATA?
ZINATA actually it has got a membership of 45,000. So we wanted to start it in Harare, so in Bulawayo, it's all provinces, so that we'll be having some branches nationwide, because we have got 5 offices in Bulawayo, Mutare, Gweru, Masungo.
That was Sekiru Subanda, Zenata Secretary for Education, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Two Zimbabweans, Bernard Pepe and Hlengisile Chiane of the Zimbabwe United Nations Association, are expected to attend a human rights training workshop next week in Geneva, Switzerland. Pepe, who is the organization's youth vice president, speaks to Studio 7's Tatenda Kumbo about this event.
We are going to give a brief summary of human rights status in our respective countries. So this training will be graced by youth from various state members of the United Nations that were selected to partake in this training. We are also going to be taught the service of project cycle management as we are expected to come back home and implement some human rights projects that will help our country in terms of human rights.
And what's your take on the issue of human rights in Zimbabwe as an organization that is working to implement the United Nations instruments?
I say in Zimbabwe, it's a mixture of both abuse and respect of human rights. In some terms, the respect of the human rights, especially when it comes to the respect of our national constitution, but there are some acts that we condemn that are being conducted here in our country. For example, the issue of Itai Damara, whose whereabouts are not known, and the state is playing a blind eye to the issue.
That was Bernard Pepe of the Zimbabwe United Nations Association speaking with Studio 7's Tatenda Kumbo. In a related development, 19 Zimbabweans have been selected to participate in a summit on global entrepreneurship to be hosted by US President Barack Obama in Kenya next week. One of the invited guests is Tawanda Chikosi, co-founder of a company that has developed a mobile app for learner drivers, who tells Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye they will share their business knowledge with other youths at the event.
The Kenyan Airways has been very helpful to us. They have spoken to a travel agency with the arrangement they have to allow us to go to Kenya by just paying a difference of about $324. For the flight, and the rest of the money that we were given support by the U.S. Embassy in Harare, which is $500 a person, would be paid directly to them to offset the total cost of the flight, which is $824, after having been given again a discount of 10% per individual by the Kenyan Airways. So this is exactly where we stand as of today.
And what does it mean for you personally as a young entrepreneur being given this opportunity to go and represent your country, Zimbabwe, at this global summit in Kenya?
Just like everybody else who has represented his country, there's an element and a feeling of being immensely proud to be one of the young people to be chosen to represent the country. Personally, I think it is an opportunity to learn. Zimbabwe is so far away from the action in terms of entrepreneurial startups and the support ecosystems that are being given in East Africa as well as in West Africa. So we feel like we are a bit behind in terms of mechanisms, support systems, as well as systems operationally. So getting there is a moment where you get to mix and mingle with the best talent.
That was Tawanda Chikosi, a young Zimbabwean entrepreneur, speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye from Harare.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On June 30th, the U.S. Embassy and Lao National Commission on Drug Control turned over $7,500, more than 60 million Lao kip worth of office supplies and media equipment, to the Lao Youth Union to assist them in carrying out an anti-drug civic awareness campaign in Vientiane and neighboring provinces. U.S. Ambassador to the Lao PDR, Daniel Kloon, took part in the ceremony along with Mr. Ku Chansina, the chairman of the LCDC, and Secretary General of the Lao Youth Union, Dr. Billavong Budakam. LDC Director Ku Chansina said that the LCD projectors received will assist the Lao Youth Union in making anti-drug educational presentations for school children. U.S. Ambassador Kloon remarked that anti-drug campaigns in schools play an important role in warning children about the dangers of illegal drug use. "We are pleased to support the Lao PDR in its efforts to fight drugs," the ambassador explained. "As the Lao PDR takes steps to integrate into the ASEAN economic community, increase cross-border trade will pose new challenges for the prevention of illicit drug trade and consumption. Since 1989, the U.S. has contributed over $47 million in anti-narcotics assistance to Laos. Past and current U.S. anti-narcotics assistance includes training and equipment for law enforcement, treatment of drug users, activities to warn the public against illicit narcotics, and alternative development programs, which assist poor opium farmers to increase their income by growing legitimate crops. The United States is proud to partner with Laos to fight an enemy of both nations, the East Asia region, and the world, illicit drugs.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
As usual, it's now time for the Women's Forum.
Welcome to the Women's Forum. I'm Praxedes Jeremiah, standing in for Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye. This evening, we are talking to Mrs. Thokozani Ncube, a businesswoman based in Zimbabwe.
2004, I was voted Matepelelent Businesswoman of the Year. In 2012, I was Businesswoman of the Year in Construction, ZNCC, Harare. So I can find my own feet in Zimbabwe, and I want to believe as well there have to be some people at home who will keep the fire burning. And there are a lot of people who are unemployed there, and I feel really deep down what is my duty. As an entrepreneur and as an initiator, I'm very good at starting up businesses, and I do employ those people. I feel they should join my organization, and I tell myself if I wasn't there to be offering them those jobs, well, where would they be at the moment?
What are you involved in at the moment?
I am a property developer. I'm into construction. I've just finished constructing a truck in Harare, which I want to believe stands head and shoulders above other truckings that are there. For AMA long-distance truckers, we've got all the amenities they are interested in, like got free showers there, they've got restaurants, they've got a sports bar, entertainment. Wi-Fi will be offering them even fuel services and things like that. It's like a one-stop shop for truckers. Their trucks will be safe and themselves as well. Is a real estate. What we do is we develop, we build and either sell, or we build and rent out some of the properties. We've just acquired about 460 acres of land in Bulawayo where we want to put a suburb. So hopefully within another year or so we'll be working on that project. And then another one in Kwekwe as well, on a sizable piece of land, about 78 acres.
As a woman, obviously you have had challenges in a male-dominated area.
Challenges are there, but you just have to be very confident and show the male world that you know what you are doing. Once they see that you are confident, you know, and you know what you are doing, it's amazing that men really enjoy working with women. And they can compliment you very well. And they tend to be quite honest and much easier. I find them it even much easier to work with males than women because they are hardworking. And they are not limited in their execution of duties by certain responsibilities that we women have, like in homes, children, and things like that.
How successful have you been in accessing capital for reinvestment?
Accessing capital, it depends really, because there are various ways of raising capital. It can be through the banks, or it can be self-financing, or it can be through friends, even just getting credits from the companies you work with. So that is the method I've always tried to apply. You'll be amazed at what people can do for you once you prove to them that you are honest and trust your business acumen. They can do anything for you. as long as they are assured that it's going to be a win-win situation.
Lastly, but not least, a word of encouragement to other women who would want to go into business.
I would say, if you feel you have got a strong calling and initiative to go into business, please do it. But don't go into business because so-and-so is in business. Because we all have different gifts. And you must go to school to learn how to do business. With some people, it comes naturally. Besides being a businesswoman, I'm involved in quite a few charity organizations as well. We have helped establish orphanages. I want to believe I'm fulfilling my purpose as well in life. Hopefully, a lot of people as well benefiting from my contributions.
You've been listening to the Women's Forum, where we're talking to Mrs. Annie Thokozani Ncube, a businesswoman based in Zimbabwe. This is Praxedes Jeremiah, standing in for Marvelous Mhlanganya Huye. Tune in next week for the next edition of the Women's Forum. Good night.
Thanks very much, Praxedes Jeremiah. We hope you are going to have a wonderful weekend. Competitive fashion shows are increasingly common occurrence in Zimbabwe, fueled by the country's own designers as they embark on elaborate, bold and very expensive designs. The annual Fashion Week in September is a big draw, bringing out some of the country's biggest designers. VOA's Ndimiyake Mwakelele reports.
Zimbabwe is fast becoming a fashion haven as homegrown designers embark on bold but stylish fashion wear for those with a high sense of style and money to burn. 31-year-old Harare-based designer Colin Ratisai is among the male designers making inroads in the country's burgeoning fashion industry.
So I'm the third of three children in my family. My elder sister studied some textile design and went on to be a fashion designer. She then got married and got out of the house. I think I had a good hand to take over what she was doing.
Fashion weeks like the recent one in the United Kingdom and the upcoming one in Harare in September are just a few of the platforms Zimbabwean designers like Ratisai get to showcase their designs among other venues.
As a designer, I am specializing in like high fashion and haute couture, in extravagant dresses or with a brief. I also work with theater costumes, the stage musicians and performers. That's my kind of market. That's my strength and that's my niche.
Ratisai, who designs both men and women's clothing, says he uses his everyday surroundings as inspirations for his designs. But he says his fashion is for the not-so-ordinary. In other words, those with deep pockets.
I'm not really aiming for that everyday kind of mass-market look. No.
A patriot to the core, Ratisai says he loves to flaunt his identity as a Zimbabwean in his fashion styles, often using colors found in the Zimbabwean flag.
Well, Zimbabwe is where I am. That's definitely my inspiration. I mean, it's nice, the greens and the yellows and like sort of the earth tones that come through our flowers around us. I'm not even thinking about the flag sometimes. I'm thinking Africa. Mm-hmm.
While he aims to make his mark in fashion internationally, Ratisai says his main base will always be Zimbabwe.
I'm pretty much a really chilled kind of designer. I'll be very happy with two or three boutiques around different countries and definitely the main base of the studios being in Zimbabwe.
Though Zimbabwean designers are gaining recognition, Ratisai says more publicity would help the industry.
For it to even go further and beyond the seas and across borders and for people to know that it's from Zimbabwe, we need the support from everyone in Zimbabwe and from, like, Studio 7. Yes, please.
Not to put off anyone from his designs because of the cost, Colin Ratisai says no matter your budget, fashion is for everyone. All you need is a high sense of style. Reporting for Studio 7 from Washington, this is Ndimiyake Mwakalielie.
Now, Now to recap today's top stories. A crippling water crisis has forced more than 36,000 residents of Masungo Town to fetch water from a polluted river. And Zimbabweans embark on elaborate, bold and very expensive clothing designs. That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Chris Kande. This is Kip Stube in Washington, D.C. Wishing you a pleasant evening and a very, very good night.
Siyabonga.